there. Yeah, so one mem Alice on the Alice, just past the middle of the onward land against Vaihi. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, among these things that you can't, that if an animal has them, it's kosher for a korban, but you can't, but if it's a mikvah, you can't check it outside the Beis Mikdash. We said among them has v'hazokin v'chola v'amazuham, if the animal is old or sick or smelly. So the Gemara says minahani mili. Where do we know that those three things are possible for korban? So like this, the Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, when the pasuk introduces korbanos at the beginning of Parashas Vayikra, beginning of Chumash Vayikra, it says that you can bring a korban min hatsoin or min hakvasim or min haizim. It says you can bring from the sheep or from the sheep or from the tsoin means generically the flocks, the sheep and goats, or from the sheep or from the goats. So each one of those, you have min. So it's a miut. Only some of them you can bring, not others. So you have three miutim. Therefore, so therefore it excludes these three things. An animal that's old, an animal that's sick, or an animal that's smelly. Now, why do we need three miutim for them? The Gemara says it's tricky. We need to be told a miut for each one of these three things. The E kasa rachmana, because if the Torah had only told us one miut, you would say the ma'ute zakin, you would say, you know which one that miut refers to. It refers to the old animal, the loy hoder bari, because now it's never going to heal from that. It's never going to become young again. Aval chola, but when the animal is sick, the hoder bari, where eventually, after all, the animal is bound to recover from the sickness, a maloy, you would think maybe that doesn't pass all of the carbon. The e cost of lamauti chola. On the other hand, if we only had a miut that told us that only a sick animal cannot be brought as a carbon, you would say, okay, it's a lava urche. It's not normal. It's not part of the normal life cycle of an animal to be sick. Aval zokin dehainu urche, but an old animal, okay, it's part of the natural life cycle. Eventually, animals get old. A, you would think that it's a normal thing. A maloy, you would think maybe not. Maybe it's not possible as a carbon. The e cost of rachmana trei. And if we only had two miotim, you would say, okay, lamautihani, fine, you would say, that's fine. Well, my the old animal and the sick animal, the krishi, because after all, they're weak from age or from sickness. Aval mezuham de lekachish, but an animal that's smelly, that's not weak, it just smells bad. A maloy, you would think, maybe not, maybe it should actually be kosher of the carbon. The e nami lamautim mezuham, or we could say the other way around, if there was only a miot on the mezuham, on the smelly animal, you would say, okay, you know, you can't bring out the carbon, but from the moist, it's disgusting. But if we only had one miut that referred to the mezuham, and we didn't have ones that referred to the old animal or the sick animal, you would say, okay, the mezuham is disgusting because it smells bad, therefore it's not appropriate to bring it to the carbon. But the old animal and the sick animal, avohani, the loimisi, which are not so miutic, there's nothing that repulsive about an old animal or a sick animal, emaloi, you would think maybe not, therefore it's strichi, therefore we need a miut for all three of them. Because you can't derive any of them from any of the others.
But you said, smelly animal is robust, why would you say that an old animal is...
Because we just said the smelly animal is really disgusting. It smells really bad. But you would think, okay, an old animal, okay, it's not as healthy as it used, not as strong as it used to be, but it's not disgusting per se. So therefore, you wouldn't know that you can't bring it as a carbon if you didn't have the extra meal. So therefore, we need all three meals. Then we said in the mission of a Shenev Debay Avera, we said if an Avera was done with the animal, and in Gemara terminology, Avera, without specifying, usually means Znus. So therefore, that's what it means over here, where the animal was used for bestiality. So we said if it was used for that, or if it killed a person, so then we said it's possible to bring as a carbon. So, Menahani Mili, where do we know that from? We learn in a Braisa. You have more miyotim in the pesukim over there. It says you have over there like this. The whole pasuk goes like this. Dabar of bnei tzova amar talem adam ki yakir mikam korban lashem min habehema min habakar umin hatson. And then later on you have where it says min akvasim oimin eizim. So you have
it says
one mean. So they right. So the fact that you have right. So min habehema lahuti beveya beniva. So the word min habehema, the exclusion over there of some animals, but not all of them, comes to exclude a reveya and a nirva, where the animal was the active or the passive partner in bestiality. Min habakar lahuti as a never. The min habakar means as opposed to an animal that was worshipped for avodah zarah, which by the way we learned in avodah zarah that an animal. If Reuven has an animal, and then, or for that matter, if a person has an animal and he worships it, or whether it's his own animal, whether it's somebody else's, it's not actually also a hedyot. It doesn't become also banah for a hedyot because no shinui was made in it. So if you made a shinui in it, that would be different. But in general, you have a concept that if there's no tfisas yedei adam, if there's no human involvement in the shaping or the making of the thing, then it doesn't become asur as an object of avodah zarah. But that's only as far as, for example, if a person bows down to a mountain or to a tree or whatever, it doesn't necessarily become asur unless there was tfisas yedei adam, unless there was human involvement involved in, let's say, no, not touching. In other words, human involvement in making it or shaping it or something. So let's say, for example, with a mountain, for example, let's say if they plated the mountain with gold, the gold plating is ulcer. The mountain itself wouldn't be ulcer unless, like, for example, they dug ditches in it or whatever. They otherwise shaped the mountain as an object of avodah zarah. Same thing with an animal, same thing with other things, if there's no tfisas yedei adam. But as far as a carbon, it's possible on the basis of this pasuk. That's the point. Carbon doesn't need tfisas yedei adam. Right. Because if it did, that's the thing. If there was tfisas yedei adam, it's not only possible as a carbon, it's possible for any yid to eat anyway. It's also b'hana. And we've learned many times before, you have a concept called mashke yisrael, that korbanos can only be brought from things that are mutter for Jewish people to eat. So if the thing had tfisas yedei adam, if it became osur b'hana as a result anyway, then there's nothing to talk about it being brought as a carbon. Right, they would actually have to make a shinui in the end.
So, in that case, why do you have to
burn a Asherah? The Mishnah mentions they were never desired because there is 50 day Adam. Because somebody planted that tree having in mind that they're going to worship it. Then you have certain cases where only the branches that grow afterward the ulcer. You have other cases where completely mutter. Fine. The point is that sometimes you don't. It depends. We learned in avodah zarah. We said there's three kinds of asherah. It depends whether it was planted to begin with as an asherah or whether it was planted to begin with as a regular tree and later on somebody carved it out or whatever to make it, to enhance tfisas yedei adam as far as making it an object of worship, versus the third case is where they just put an avodah zarah under it and later on they remove it. So yes, if the tree is planted l'chatchila as an asherah, only then is it completely osur b'hana, otherwise not necessarily.
And yet there's still no
if a person plants it, there's tfisas yedei adam, because a person planted it. That is the definition of tfisas yedei adam. Okay, a person planted it, l'shem avodah zarah. Look, let's not get into that, Baruch, over here. We're learning now a different Gemara, but the fact is that if a person planted it, having in mind to worship it, that is considered tfisas yedei adam. That is the definition of tfisas yedei adam. Same way, the person makes a statue, it's tfisas yedei adam. What are you going to say? I mean, the molecules of gold existed before, but that doesn't matter. The point is, the person shaped it. Yeah, okay.
We're talking about, you gave the example of changing shape or color.
So, for example, also if a person plants it. Hashem avodah zarah. Okay, fine. Okay, so that's it. Okay. So anyway, the point is, even if there's no tfisas yedei adam, it's not also to a hedyot, but it is also as a curtain. Okay. Min hatsoin l'hoytzi et hamotza. When it says min hatsoin, the word min is another mute. It means as opposed to an animal that is mukta, meaning that it was set aside to be used as a korban for avodah zarah. And when it says min hatsoin, you have an extra vav over there, so that vav is also a mute. That comes to exclude also l'hoytzi et hanegeach. That comes to exclude an animal that gored somebody and killed him. So therefore, we see in our Mishnah, where we mentioned that an animal that was used for an avera, for bestiality, or an animal that killed a person is possible as a carbon, and this is where we learn it from.
Yeah, usually it's a buffer.
Well, fair enough, but I guess the point is, even if it was a sign and it happened to kill somebody, then. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the question is, what do you mean that those things are possible for a carbon? Hani b'nek tolam, if an animal was used for bestiality, or if an animal killed somebody, it has to be executed anyway. It's anyway also b'hana. So what are you talking about as far as a carbon? The answer is al piyed echad or al piyed bayim. We mean where there was only one aid, or where the owner himself came to Beis Din and admitted it, where there was not chayiv mitzvah. We had actually this expression, al pi eidechad or al pi abaylam, in the Mishnah. So some of the Mepharshim say maybe that means that those weren't originally in the Mishnah, and therefore the Gemara has to supply it over here. The other possibility is maybe we're talking about the Braisa over here. The Braisa has it specified, and therefore the Gemara is explaining on the basis of the Mishnah that the Braisa also means al pi eidechad or al pi abaylam. Okay, fine. Okay. Now let's start talking about the next thing we mentioned in the Mishnah, is if the animal was a tumtum or an androgynous. So we had three opinions in the Mishnah. One is that if an animal is a tumtum or an androgynous, it's not considered to be a bal mum. However, you can't bring it to the korban. Loi b'mikdash v'loi b'medina. Again, if it's a bechor, you can't shecht it outside the mikdash. But if you were going to bring it to the korban, you can't. The second opinion in the Mishnah is no. We'll see in the Gemara. We'll discuss the exact reasons why. But whatever it is, you can't bring it to the korban. Then we had Reb Shimon or Reb Shmuel saying in the Mishnah that it is considered a mum, ein lacha mum gadol mizeh. Therefore, if it's a bechor, you can shecht it. And then we had the third opinion, the Chachamim, saying never mind that, it doesn't even have its grusha of a bechor. You could even shear it, you could even work with it. Okay, so let's discuss this point of tumtum and andragonus, which is going to be a long story over here. So this shleim of tumtum b'mikdash lo. I can understand why, if the animal is a tumtum, why you can't. Now remember, let's remember the definition. The tumtum is an animal where its genitals are covered up with flesh or membrane or whatever, so you can't tell if it's male or female. And an andragonus is where it has the genitals of both male and female. By the way, I mean, in modern medicine, you have a lot of different kinds of intersex conditions where an animal or a person is part male and part female in different parts of his body or whatever. As far as halacha is concerned, it goes strictly based on the genitals. We don't care about the rest of the karyotype in the animal.
What about the
transgender? Never mind that. We're talking about normal people and normal animals. A shote is in fact possible as a carbon.
You have a normal person, a separate animal, a separate,
In other words, how would it happen a person has genitals of both male and female? The pashtus, what happens is parts of their body are double X, parts of their body are XY. It happens that mosaic is in the general area, and therefore they end up growing the genitals of both sexes. I'm saying you can have nowadays, for example, in modern medicine, they can find, for example, that a person has a mosaic like that elsewhere in their body. So in the general area, let's say they're all double X, or they're all XY, so they only have the genitals of the one gender, but then elsewhere in the body they have the characteristics of the other gender. That doesn't, as far as halacha is concerned, that doesn't matter. We're talking strictly an androgynous.
Or you can use
the brain. In the breasts and whatever. Okay. Has to be, yes. Okay. The shleim of tumtum b'mikdash loy. So I can understand why if this animal that's a bechor, if it's a tumtum, why you can't bring it as a korban in the mikdash? Because dilma nekevah, because after all, it might be a female animal, and then you would be bringing cholin v'azara. Because if it's a male, then it's a bechor, and you're bringing it as a korban bechor. If it's a female, what are you bringing it as? Even you're going to argue that you can argue some of the, where one of the mafarshim says, okay, bring it as a tznai. Say if it's a male, then I'll bring it as a bechor, and if it's a female, I'll bring it as a shlomim. You can't. The way the blood is put on the mizbeach, where a shlomim and a bechor is different, so it doesn't work. The medina loy, and the reason why. No, with the that's the thing. With the bechor, you pour it or you dash it against the wall of the mizbeach. With the shlomim, it's the same as on a shenaza, on two corners. But yeah, but you do only one, you yoyse, but still, clearly you're not supposed to do that. So therefore, you can't bring it to the korban, fine. But medina loy, and you can't shecht it outside the bismikdash duma zochahu, because after all, it might be a zochah, and according to the Tanakhama, the less bamumma, it's not considered to have a mum, therefore you can't shecht it. Ella, androgynous, but we have to figure, why is the Mishnah telling us that an androgynous can't be brought to the korban or can't be shechted outside the bismikdash? The shleim of a mikdash loy, again, I can understand why you can't bring it to the korban before, German nekevi, because after all, it might really be a female. El of the medina, but why can't you shecht it outside the bis mikdash as a balmum? Nehi na el of the medina nami, nehi nami de zachahu. Granted, even you're going to argue that an androgynous is considered a male, and you have in certain areas of halacha, sometimes we consider an androgynous, this is true as far as human beings as well, sometimes for certain purposes in halacha we consider them a male, for certain purposes a female, for certain purposes both, for certain purposes neither. So let's suppose that this animal is considered a male and therefore it has kedushas bechor. So what? Te'asa nakus choret. Consider the female organ that it has over there should be considered a gruv in the animal, where one of the mumim that's mentioned in the list of mumim in Parshat Emor is if the animal is chorut, meaning that it has a groove or notch where it shouldn't. And over here it has a groove, it has a notch where it shouldn't, because it has female genitals where it shouldn't. The yishchet ala, and therefore it should be considered a mum, and you should be able to shecht it on the grounds of that. Why does the Tanakhama of the Mishnah say that an androgynous you're not allowed to shecht outside of this Mishnah? The answer is Omar Abaya. Because Abaye says, because the expression in the pasuk, because it mentions chorus, again, if the animal has a groove or notch where it shouldn't, somewhere on its body, and also the next thing it mentions, oishogur, or if it's broken. So from that we learn, we have a hekesh, chorus dumya de shogur. The definition of chorus has to be similar to the definition of shogur. Ma shogur b'makam esem, just like shogur means by definition where something is broken, where there's a bone, because otherwise you can't call it a break. The same thing, chorus has to involve that there's a bone over there. There's no bones over there in the area that where the shape of them is affected by there being female genitals. Therefore, the kind of camel would say it's not considered a bone. Okay. Raw bone. There's no bones over there. I mean, you have the pelvis, of course, but the pelvis is shaped more or less the same, whether it's a male or a female. Okay, it's a little wider for a female, fine, but you don't have any actual notch or groove in it as a result of there being female genitals. So therefore, the Tanakhama will say it's not considered a mum. The mum of chorus, according to him, would be only if there's a notch or a scratch or whatever in a bone in the body, and here there isn't. Rava Omar, Rava says, never mind that. Below shavu nami leimotis amrit, chorus v'makam basur havim mumma. Never mind that, Rava says. Even if you don't take the view that you have with Hekish, even if you're not going to say that the definition of chorus is supposed to be like the definition of shavu, you still can't say that a chorus, if it's only in a place where there's flesh, should be considered a mum. Why not? The sakadaibda have a mumma, because think of it like this, says Rava. If you're going to argue that chorus, where there's no bone, is considered a mum, let's look earlier on the Amr. We said, kivin de Amr, gorov zehu cheres. We said before when we were talking about, we had yesterday at the beginning of the Gemara, we had the conditions Gorov, Yalefes, Chazazis. We were talking about which of those are considered mumim and which is not. And we said that there was a condition called Gorov, which we said is called Cheres. We said over there because it's hard, Rashi says that it's hard like earthenware. It's a dry patch on the skin that's hard. So when you think about it, Michret Chores, that place actually is indented as well. It's not just hard and flat, because the Gemara assumes, because the Gemara knows what Gorov is, what Cheres is, what condition they called by that name in those days. It actually is indented below the surface of the skin. And we know that it's below the surface, because you have a pasuk by Tzaraas that says, Marehu omot min ha'ar. It describes over there where the Tzaraas appears to be below the surface of the skin, which means Kemare chamah ha'amukah min ha'seil. Now over there, Tzaraas is a white spot. But what do we mean that it looks deeper than the skin? The point is, because just like a spot of sunlight looks deeper than the shadowed area surrounding it. So the same way, the Tzaraas, being a bright white spot, looks like it's deeper than the skin. So what's the point, in other words, therefore, Gorov in and of itself involves that it is or looks at least deeper than the skin. In fact, Rabbeinu Gershom points out also the word chorutz and the word cheres are very similar. So therefore, cheres, This skin condition that we're talking about over here implies that it's chorus, implies that it's indented below the skin. Also, there are a number of places, there's a few places in Tanakh where the word cheres is used as a poetic word for the sun. Ha'omel ha'cheres v'lo yizrach is one example. So you have a number of such places. So therefore, just like we're saying, a spot of sunlight looks deeper than the shade and the shadow around it. The same way, this cheres, as in the skin condition, also looks deeper than the skin around it. So therefore, says Rava, if you're going to tell me that an indented area is considered a mum even if there's no bone over there, then then the Torah could have told us that chorus alone is a mum without mentioning gorov, and then we would realize by a kavul chomer that of course if it has gorov, then for sure it's a mum. Even if you have an indent where there's not supposed to be, then which is not disgusting looking, having mumma, it's considered a mum. Gorov de mois like holshikin. How much more so if there's a gorov, which also looks disgusting and is indented. Therefore, Rava says kasa rachmana gorov. Therefore, instead, the Torah writes the word gorov lemeimar, and that tells you the chorus v'makam basur like having mumma, that any other indent, a dimple or scratch or whatever, where there's no bone, where it doesn't affect a bone, would not be considered a mum. Therefore, the Torah tells us when you have garav, when there's an actual skin condition over there that causes it to be indented or that causes it to be indented below the surface, then yes, that's considered a mole. But other than that, if you just have a natural dimple or fold or what have creased or whatever in the skin, then that wouldn't be considered a mole.
How would you know that it's not indented?
Because you would feel that the bone below it is not broken or scratched or whatever. So
the bone doesn't have to be broken or scratched. To penetrate into the skin.
No. The point is, if you have chorus where the bone itself is actually affected, where the bone itself is actually scratched or nicked or whatever, and therefore and it's visible from the outside, that would be considered the mum of chorus. Rava is saying, on the other hand, if you don't have involvement to the bone, then the only way that chorus is a mum is if there's garav involved, if there's the skin condition called garav, called cheret. Yes. Then it would be considered a mum. In the case of female genitals and an androgynous, it's nothing of the above. There's no bone involved. If there's nothing disfiguring over there, there's no garav. Therefore, the Tanakhama is going to say that's not considered a mum. So that is why he's going to say it's not considered a mum, and therefore you can't check the Bechor for it. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel, Omer Ein Lecha Mum Godum is there. On the other hand, Rabbi Shmuel said that there's no greater mum than that. Meaning, in other words, he says that an androgynous is considered to be a Baal Mum. So what is that? Kabaya loy Omar. Meaning Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with Abaya's premise that, again, the Tanakhama, we had said that Abaya explained the Tanakhama saying, why is it that the female genital doesn't make a mum, even though on the face of it you should consider it chorus, because chorus by definition involves that there's a bone. Well, because of the hekesh, he says, chorus dum yedeshav aleyamin. Rabbi Shmuel can disagree with that. He can say, I don't hold of that hekesh. So therefore, chorus and shavur do not have to be similar. Shavur involves a bone. Chorus does not have to. Therefore, the female genitals would be a mum. Rava Nami Lomar. On the other hand, Rabbi Shmuel also doesn't have to agree with Rava's understanding of the Tanakhama, because you could say Dilma hit that Rava had said that chorus is a mum only if either there's a bone involved or it's disfiguring, like Darav. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't have to agree with that. He could say Dilma Hecha Dole Minkara. He can say, yeah, where it's not really particularly noticeable that you have this chorus, then you would say that, yeah, you either have to have a bone is involved or you have to have that it's disfiguring. Abel, Hecha, the Minkar, but over here where it's very noticeable because you have it's the female genitals of an animal, it's a very big noticeable thing. Mumra Koran Abay, then we can very well call that, Rabbi Shmuel would say, we could well call that a mumra. We could well call that a bad mum, something that's clearly obviously visible and disfigures the animal, and therefore he says it'll be considered a mum.
The
Tanakhama has his reasons, either according to Abaya or according to Rava. So therefore he says it doesn't matter. It's still okay, but he'll say, nevertheless, the definition of chorus is that it involves a bone or that it involves some kind of disfiguring skin condition. Boy, Rava. Okay, so now Rava asks the question like this. My time is Rabbi Shmuel. Now we have, again, the Tanakhama, we understand. The Tanakhama is saying this thing is a vadai b'chor, you just can't bring it as a korban. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, when Rabbi Shmuel says, Ein lecha mum gadol mizeh, meaning that you can shecht it outside the Beis Mikdash, what is his underlying reason? My time is Rabbi Shmuel. Is it mikshet pshitalei androgynous b'chor hu umumun? Right? Is it that he knows for a fact that an androgynous is considered a b'chor, it is considered a zohar, however, it comes with a built-in mum, therefore you're able to shecht it? Or is it that actually Rabbi Shmuel has a suffix whether it's considered a b'chor? So he's not necessarily saying it has a mum. He's saying, first of all, it might be a female. And if it is, then or a female, or as the Gemara is going to say, a very of asthma. It might be considered an intermediate thing, neither male nor female.
Separate
gender, let's say. So is it that Rabbi Shmuel is saying, I know for a fact that it's a zohar, however it has a mum, because we just established he considers this to be chorot, therefore that's why you're able to shecht it, or is he saying, actually, maybe it's b'chlal, a female, or a berry of a pnasma, if you want to say it's a male, then it does have a mum. If it's a female, it doesn't have a producer's b'chor anyway, then you could do whatever you want with it. If it's berry of a pnasma, same thing. So maybe what he's saying is imkin saloima kamar. Maybe he's saying an imkin saloima. If you want to say that it's a zachar, then meaning imkin saloima b'chor, who even if you're going to argue that it is considered a b'chor, because we do consider it a zachar, you could argue, he says, hare mumma imai. Then he would say it has a mumma, so therefore you can check it. So what are, those are the two possibilities. Either he's saying, yes, it is definitely a b'chor, but it also has a mum, therefore you can check it. Or he's saying, I'm not even sure if it's a b'chor, but even if you were to argue that it's a b'chor with a mum. Therefore you can check it. What? And if it's not a b'chor, then you for sure you can check it. So the question is... Well, no. So the question is, well, my nafkamina, what would be the practical difference between the two ways of understanding Rabbi Shmuel? The practical difference would be the milk alayv shul gizav avoda. Number one, if a person were to shear this animal, or if a person were to work with this animal, would he get malchus? If we say that it's a vadai b'chur, but it has a mum, then he gets malchus, because you're not allowed to do that with a b'chur. If we say that it's a sofik b'chur, you don't get malchus for a sofik. That's one. Inami lemeisvel akoyin. Number two, another nafkamina would be, do you have to give the animal to the koyin? We've learned in the Masechta various cases where you have an animal that's a sofik b'chur, where we said the general rule is you do have to treat it as a b'chur as far as you can't shecht it, you can't work with it, and you have to treat the meat of it with kedushas b'chur, etc. However, you don't have to give it to the koyin, because amotz mechavel avaraya, you, the Yisrael yourself, can shecht it and eat it. So if it's a vadeh b'chur over here, you have to give it to the koyin, and if it's a sofik b'chur, you're able to give it. What is it, according to Rabbi Shmuel? Is it a vadei b'chor with a mum, or is it a sofik b'chor? Toshma, Rabbi Loi oimer mishum Rabbi Shmuel, androgynous b'chor who will mum oimer. Well, very simple. Rabbi Loi says in the name of Rabbi Shmuel that an androgynous is a b'chor that comes with a mum. Shma minam nifshep shitalei. So there you go. Obviously, Rabbi Shmuel knows for a fact that that's what it is. That it is considered a vadei b'chor. However, a vadei b'chor that has a mum. Therefore, in other words, you would not be allowed to work with it. You would not be allowed to shear it. And if a person did, he would be chayav malchus. And he does have to give it to the kohen. However, it can be shechted on the spot because once you show it to a mumcha or shloisha yodis, whatever, because it has a mum. Okay, the Gemara says why. The Dilma imkin saloima kamar. Maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Loi is mentioning only the second possibility. Maybe he's saying if you want to say that it's a b'chor, then it still has mum or imai. But maybe still the implication is maybe it's a b'chor, maybe not. He hasn't explicitly rejected the second possibility. Again, the two possibilities are one that it's a vadei b'chor but it has a mum. The second one is that it's a sofik b'chor, and if you want to say that it's a b'chor, then still it has a mum and therefore you're good. So fine, he mentioned b'chor who mum imai, but maybe he's only mentioning one of the two possibilities. Maybe he didn't bother mentioning the other possibility, that it's b'chlal a sofik b'chor. Maybe he's saying the bottom line is it has a mum, so the bottom line is you're going to be able to shecht it, whether you consider it a b'chor or not, but he's not necessarily taking a position on whether it's a vadei b'chor. Okay, but maybe he means only that's one side of a sofik. But that's the fact is he could mean that he's mentioning only the end of the argument, maybe. Okay, so we don't have a solid proof. Toshma, so we'll bring a proof from another braisa. The pasuk says zocher. The pasuk says by an ola of cattle. The pasuk says that you have to bring a zocher, which implies well in the case that you can't bring a female as an ola. Then true omer lamata zocher. A few pasukim later, when it talks about a korban ola from sheep, it also says the word zohar, she'en tamud loimer, so it didn't need to say zohar again. Once we had a general statement that an oila consists of a zohar, then we know it would be the same with all other animals as well, especially because the part of the sheep begins with a vav, zi'im minasoin korbanos, and you have a concept that Gemara mentions in various places, vav mosif al inyan rishin, that the vav means it's adding to what we said before, so if we already know from before that it has to be a zohar, then the same thing would be the sheep. Ma tamud loimer. So why does it repeat the word zohar? Lohotzi tumtum v'androgynous. It would be to exclude that you can't bring as a korban a tumtum or an androgynous. Otherwise, you didn't need the second zohar. So the question is mani. So we have to figure out which of the opinions in our Mishnah would this braisa be according to. Ilema Tanakama. Would you say that it's according to the Tanakama of our Mishnah, who said that the tumtum or the androgynous are a sofik, and we said that's why you can't bring it as a korban, so you can't shecht it because you said it's not considered a mum, the fact that it's a tumtum or the fact that it's an androgynous, but nevertheless it is a sofik b'chor or not, and you can't shecht it because it doesn't have any other mum. If you're going to say it's according to the Tanakhama, if you're going to say that this braisa, that when it mentions zohar for the second time, the lohotzi tumtum or androgynous, Sekehu. According to the Tanakhama, after all, the status of the Tumtum or the androgynous is only a suffix. But Asi Kralam or Seka, would you have a pasuk telling us what to exclude a suffix? Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, we may have a suffix whether a Tumtum or an androgynous is a Zohar or an Akeva. But Hashem, who wrote the Torah, knows the truth. So you wouldn't have a pasuk telling us that what to do. You wouldn't have a pasuk telling us if you have a suffix, here's what you do. Instead of the pasuk telling us because you have a suffix, here's what you can do. You can't bring it to the korban. The pasuk would flat out tell us if you have an animal that's in this condition of suffix, here's the din. I'm telling you it's a zohar, or I'm telling you it's a nekeva, as the case may be. Now, Tosfos points out that you have various places where the Gemara does say we do have psukim that teach us what to do in the case of a suffix. For example, we're going to have at the end of our Masechta, when we talk about Maisa Behema, you have the case where you have an animal that's a suffix, whether it's a tenth one or not. What do you do with it? You have a number of cases where you have psukim that tell us what to do in the case of a suffix. So why is the Gemara taking it as such an obvious thing that the Torah is not going to tell us about a suffix? So Tosfos says the difference is because in those kinds of situations you're talking about, there's a suffix, what happened? In that particular case, you have a suffix. Was this animal counted as a tenth, or was it not, for example? Were the other animals in the pen there all valid for Maisa Behema or not? So that kind of thing, yeah, the Torah has to tell you. Because you came into a situation of suffix, so you have to know what to do. Over here, the situation is, it's not, you have an animal that was born this way. So it's not like something happened to it. You have an animal sitting here like this. Therefore, that's the kind of thing you have. The question isn't on the question isn't what happened or what didn't happen. The question is on the halacha. What's the halachic status of this animal? In that case, the Torah should be telling us: is it considered a zohar or is it considered an akeva? Rather than leaving the question open and telling us because it's a suffix, you can't bring it to the korban. So obviously, therefore, by elimination, that means that braisa cannot be according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, because the Tanakhama of our Mishnah would say, yes, we have a suffix, whether an androgynous is a zohar or an akeva. Fine, the Torah should be telling us it's a zohar, or the Torah should be telling us it's an akeva. So obviously, according to him, so obviously this braisa is not according to him. The Tanakhama had implied in our Mishnah that this animal, the androgynous, is a suffix, zohar or nekeva. Tosfos points out actually the Gemara could have argued that maybe according to the Tanakhama it's not a suffix, it's just that it doesn't have something that can really be considered a mum. It's a mum to the extent that you can't bring it as a korban, but not a mum to the extent where you can check it as a bechor outside of this mikdash, just like we had before about, for example, the inner gums, etc. Tosfos says, okay, but the fact that Rabbi Shmuel uses the expression bechor hu umum imai implies that according to the Tanakhama it's a suffix whether it's a bechor. Which would mean that it's a suffix, in other words. Okay.
Bechor who,
according to Rabbi Shmuel, we said, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, we said maybe there's a suffix, but at least the fact that Rabbi Shmuel uses the expression bechor who implies that the Tanakhama is not even sure whether it's a bechor.
So, in order not to be a suffix, what should Rabbi Shmuel
say? We already said there's a suffix within Rabbi Shmuel himself, but the point is the fact that he uses the expression bechor who implies he's saying, you Tanakhama are saying you're not sure whether it's a bechor. I'm telling you that one possibility, at least, is that it's b'chor hu, that it really is a b'chor. However, unlike you, who say there's no mum in it, I say there's a mum in it. So the point is, Tosfos says, so by implication, we see that Tanakhama.
So he's saying.
But he's saying that at least there's a possibility that it's a bade b'chor, whereas you, Tanakhama, seem to be leaving the question open. The point being, in other words, the Tanakhama apparently holds it above it. So again, this b'raisa, that saying that from the word zohar, from Rabbi Shmuel, we can derive what the Chacham would say. Okay, so it can't be the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, because according to him, you wouldn't need the word zohar to tell us you can't bring a tumtum around and drag this as a korban, because they're a suffix, and the Torah wouldn't be telling us about the status of a suffix. The Mishnah had said that the Chachamim say that you can't bring it as a korban. The Tanakhama had said that you tumtum around and drag this, loy b'mikdash, loy b'medina. Yeah. Okay. El Rabbanan Basroi. Would we say that this braisa goes according to the last chachamim in our Mishnah, who said that the tumtum or that the androgynous at least is not even considered a bechor? It's considered definitely not a bechor. It's considered deri b'fnei asma, and therefore it doesn't even have kedushas bechor. Well, then according to them, mechabkro nafsi. According to them, you don't need a separate pasuk to teach us about a tumtum and an androgynous. They could learn it all from one pasuk. Because after all, by b'chor, it only says zachor once, and yet we learn from it, according to them, that a tumtum and an androgynous are excluded. So therefore, and yet we're saying, according to the third opinion in our Mishnah, the Chachamim Omim of our Mishnah, they're saying from that one word Zachar, we're excluding that an animal that's a definite in the Kaver is not a Bechor, and also an animal that's a Trumtum, and also an animal that's an Andragonus. So according to them, you don't need a separate word Zachar to teach us when it comes to Karbonus that you can't bring a Trumtum or an Andragonus as a carbon.
Because
the Torah only says Zohar once by Bechor, and they know all these things, including everything, so they're the same thing. We only needed to say Zohar once by Korbanus, and we would know that a Tumtum and Androgynous are excluded.
And therefore?
So therefore, this Braisa, about the second time Zohar, can't be according to the Chachamim of our Mishnah either. Ela Pshita Rabbi Shmuel. Obviously, by elimination, this Braisa must be according to Rabbi Shmuel. The Iyamet B'Shlemer Rabbi Shmuel Mipshet Pshita Lei. Now again, if you say Rabbi Shmuel knows for a fact that this animal is considered a zocher, he's just saying it's considered a zocher, but one that has a mum. Okay, I know it's the chrolamorti. Therefore, we need a pasuk to tell us that even though it's a zocher, nevertheless, if you were makdish it as an ola, it has no kedusha at all. You're even allowed to shear it. You're even allowed to work with it. So Rabbi Shmuel would say, by a bechor, you only have one time zocher. Therefore, fine. If it's an androgynous, okay, it's a bechor with a mum. You're still like a regular bechor baal mum. You're not allowed to shear it. You're not allowed to work with it. And if a person does, he's chayav malchus. But by korbanus, we have twice zocher. He can say, fine. The first one tells us you can't bring it as a korban because the baal mum anyway. And the second one is telling us it doesn't even have the kedusha of a korban. And therefore, in other words, if you were to be makdish, an animal, an androgynous, as an oila, for example, it has no kedusha at all. You could shear it, you could work with it, you could do whatever. Fine, according to Rabbi Shmuel, if we say that Rabbi Shmuel, in our Mishnah, knows that this androgynous is a zocher, just that it's a zocher, a balmum, then fine, that works out. Ela i'amit mesaptele, but if you're going to say, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that he has a suffix also, whether this is a bechor or not, same question. It's tzirich krolam or tisfeka. Would we need a pasuk to tell us that to tell us the din of a suffix? Again, the pasuk shouldn't be telling us the din that you can't bring it to the korban. The pasuk should be telling us this suffix, this that you human beings have a suffix on. I Hashem know the truth. It's a zachar or it's a nekeva, as the case may be, and therefore here are the dinim that apply there.
If you say, according to Rabbi Shmuel,
that it's a suffix,
okay,
then the Braisa doesn't work according to any of the three opinions in our Mishnah. It doesn't work according to the Tanna Kamma. It doesn't work according to the Rabbanan Basroi, the Chachamim, and it doesn't work according to Rabbi Shmuel.
And it's saying it's a
If you say that Rabbi Shmuel knows as a simple fact that this is a zocher, then we're saying you have a second pasuk to tell us, even though it's a zocher, it doesn't get any kedusha. If you're makdish it as an ola, for example. But if you're going to say he has a suffix if it's a zocher and a kever, then you have the same thing as the Tanna Kamma. The pasuk doesn't need to tell us about a suffix. The answer is no. La'olam rabbanan basro. You could actually say that this braisa does go according to the Chachamim in our Mishnah. And you were saying, well, according to them, it only says one time zocher by bechor, and yet we know automatically from that nekeva and tumtum and androgynous are all excluded. No, actually, v'gabe bechor tarki kroik siv. Because actually, by bechor, you also have two times it says zocher. Has zocher, v'has chorim. You have one place where it says has zocher. You have another place where it says has chorim. So therefore, you actually do have two. So according to them, you can say one teaches us not an nekeva, the other one tells us not a tumtum or an androgynous. And therefore, it's the same thing. And the Braisa, you can have when it comes to a korban ola. One tells us not an akeva, and the other one tells us not a tumtum or an androgynous. So we thought that not, because we thought it only says one time zocher by bechor, and then remayeth everything from it. Now we're saying that not, it actually says twice zocher by bechor. So therefore, so they would say that. What do you mean, what's the reason? Because that's
twice that you can exclude it from one.
Because they're saying, in the end, we're saying you can't. They need one pasuk to exclude a female, another one to exclude a tumtum and androgynous. And this, because they do, because they say, after all, that you can't exclude tumtum and androgynous necessarily on the basis of the same pasuk that you're mamayet a female.
Okay.
Because a female is one. It's not a zocher. It could be a berry. Maybe it's a berry of a fine, but it's not an akeva either.
But nobody says it has to be has to be entertainment.
Okay, the point is that the point is we thought that they memorized everything from one pasuk. Now we're saying that no, actually, given that they themselves know that there are two pasukim, one tells us not an akeva, one tells us not a tumtum and andragonus. The same thing, therefore, when it comes to the oila, same thing. So this braisa, after all, could represent their opinion.
But we divide the logic in reverse. You were saying because there's two exclusions, then we need two pasukim.
No, we're saying because we have two pasukim, because they have to do something with the second pasuk, therefore we're saying they're excluding one thing from one and the other thing from another.
Yes.
Therefore, the same thing with the oila. We thought by the oila, if you have two pasukim to exclude it, it can't be according to their opinion. Now we're saying it could. Therefore, this braisa could be according to them. Therefore, this braisa doesn't tell us anything about Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. We thought. By the oila it says two, by the b'chor it also says two. So if the chachamim of our Mishnah, the third opinion in our Mishnah, says that from the twice zachar by b'chor, we're learning one of them not a female and the other one not a tzumtum and andragonus, they would say the same thing by an oila. Therefore, this braisa can be according to them, not like we thought that it can be only according to Rabbi Shmuel. Therefore, it doesn't tell us anything about Rabbi Shmuel's opinion.
Because for an oila, it talks about two. Then.
Because the braisa is not according to Rabbi Shmuel. After all, we can say the braisa is according to the chachamim of our Mishnah.
By the fact that
we thought that the chachamim of our Mishnah don't need two zochars, and the answer is they do. So the same thing when it comes to So we don't know what Rabbi Shmuel's reading. We don't know whether we leave it undecided. We don't know whether Rabbi Shmuel holds that it's a suffix, whether it's a zachar, whether it's a vadeh that's a zachar, but he says it's a balmum, or whether it's a suffix, whether it's a zachar or not, or whether it's a suffix, whether it's a zachar or not. If it's a zachar, then it's a balmum, and if it's an akeva, then. Okay, right. Okay, so we don't know what Rabbi Shmuel holds. Then we said the chachamim ma'amim ain't a b'chor. We said the chachamim say it's not considered a b'chor, and therefore you can even shear with it. You can even shear it. You can even work with it because it has no kedushas b'chor at all.
Well, one second.
It's not so simple actually. It's not so simple who the halacha is like. If I recall correctly, the Rambam paskins like the Chachamim that it doesn't have kedushas b'chor at all. However, the Rosh and a number of other Rishonim paskin like Rabbi Shmuel that, or at least like one possibility in Rabbi Shmuel that it's a suffix b'chor. I don't know if Ashkenazim is fighting. In Shulchan Aruch, it only brings that opinion. In Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't even bring the opinion that the opinion of the Rambam that it would be considered that you could shear it or work with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
So we don't know.
Yeah. So that's what it knows. So we do know. So again, the Rambam passes in by Kedusha Klal, but the Rosh and various other Rishonim passed in like Rabbi Shmuel, that at least according to one possibility of Rabbi Shmuel, that it's a soft b'chor, and that's how it's brought. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings only that opinion. In Shulchan Aruch, forget about offering, and in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't mention about offering, so we don't know if that's mixed. In Shulchan Aruch, it just says that androgynous is a soft b'chor, and therefore, you don't have to give it to the Kohen, fine, if it's a soft, but you do have to consider it a b'chor, which comes out according to Rabbi Shmuel.
It means
you would have to wait until it develops some other mum, right?
Okay, fine.
Then we said the chachamim ma'aneh b'chor. We said the chachamim said it's not considered it would be not really according to Rabbi Shmuel. It would really be according to the first chachamim of our Mishnah, according to the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah, who said you can't bring it to the Kohen, but you can't check it either, meaning it's not considered a balmum. Yeah, so it would be according to that one. Right, so in Shulchan Aruch, it brings only that opinion, that Amar doesn't even disagree, so that's how it is. Okay. The Chachamim said this animal, the androgynous, is not even considered a b'chor. So now we were talking about tumtum and androgynous. So we have to figure out, is the Tanna Kamma referring to both of them, or is there a difference between them? So, Amar Chis, the machloikas for androgynous, the machloikas in the Mishnah is only about where the Chachamim in the Mishnah say that it's considered very of a and has no kedushas b'chor is only as far as an androgynous. Al b'tumtum, but if the animal is a tumtum, where it has the genitals of one or the other, it's just covered up. Divrei hakol seikahu, then says Rav Chista, everybody would agree that it's a suffix, so therefore you can't shear it, you can't bring it to the korban either, but you can't shaft it either until it develops some other mum. The kaddish mitzvaka, and therefore it has kedusha, to be honest, and therefore it has kedusha because of the suffix. Amalei Rava. So Rava says, if you're going to tell me that a tumtum is considered a suffix, that it might be a male, it might be a female, Elameata, by that logic, but Erchin Ye'orich, then when it comes to the dinim of Erchin, which is going to be the next mistake that we learn, then it should be, and this week's parasha also, then it should be possible to declare an Erech of a human tumtum. No, that's the point. In other words, on the face of it, Rava is saying like this. If you have, so, let's learn the Braisa and we'll clarify. Alama Tanya, so why do we learn in a Braisa, in Erchin, when it says ha-zocher, that you're, the Erech for the zocher is so and so much, meaning v'loy tumtum v'androgynous, meaning not a tumtum v'androgynous. So in other words, if it weren't for that pasuk, we would say like this. If a person is a tumtum, let's say, and he says Erchi alai, or a person sees a tumtum and says Erech zeh alai, if we didn't have the pasuk, we would say like this, as the next braisa is going to say, that we would argue, okay, it's a suffix whether this person is a male or a female, therefore fine, you don't have to give the Erech of a man, but you'd have to give the Erech of a woman of that age. So if it's between 20 and 60 years old, for example, you have a 50 shekel for a man, 30 shekel for a woman, so fine, if a person declares, I'm going to give the Erech of a tumtum between 20 and 60 years old, you would say he has to give 30 shekel. Comes the pasuk hazachar and tells us, no, not a tumtum, not an androgynous. So Rava says, if you're going to say, Rav Chisda, that a tumtum is a suffix, why shouldn't you have to give the Erech of a woman? Why would the pasuk be memayit it?
At least
you should have to give it. The answer is, Rav Chisda, why don't you mimikam tumtum? Delete the word. Well, so therefore, on the face of it, it means that a tumtum is not a suffix. So on the face of it, a tumtum is not a suffix. A tumtum, whatever, it would be a category of its own, whatever. The answer is simikan tumtum. Delete the word tumtum from that braisa. The braisa is telling us only that the word hazocha over there is excluding the androgynous. Maybe indeed, according to Rav Chisda, yes, the tumtum would be a suffix, and you would have to give the erech of a female for a tumtum.
Why should it exclude just the androgynous?
Because the androgynous, we can argue, is considered a berry of miasma. We can argue, at least according to the Chachamim at the end of our Mishnah, that it's considered very of miasma because it has the genitals of both organs. So therefore, it's not like there's... So the previous Tanoim could be saying it's a suffix. Which one is considered more important? This one can be saying the fact that it has the ones of both makes it that it's a third gender, in effect. It's a gender of its own, neither male nor female, so it doesn't have Kedushas Bechorah. But Rav Chisda is saying a tumtum is not like that, because under the skin over there, under the membrane over there, you have either a male organ or a female organ. And if it's a male organ, then it's going to have Kedushas Bechorah. So Rav Chisda says everybody in our Mishnah would agree it's a suffix. So Rava is asking from this braita about Erchin. The answer is Rav Chisda would say, by Erchin, as a matter of fact, if you say that you're going to give the Erech of a tumtum, you would have to give the Erech of a female because of the suffix. Only if you say, I'm going to give the Erech of an androgynous, then you put you on the grounds of the word hazacha, because an androgynous is not considered a zacha or an akeza.
But if you can uncover the genitals, why would you say it's nothing?
Because as long as you haven't uncovered it, as long as it's still hidden.
Okay, but...
Okay. So actually, you make a good point, and actually, when we get, I mean, we're still in the middle of the sugya over here, but in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions it talks about this case of the tumtum. Later on, the Gemara is going to distinguish between different kinds of tumtum. We'll get to that still, but anyway, in Shulchan Aruch, it brings... Whatever. We'll get to that soon. Anyway, the in Shulchan Aruch, it says again that it's a sophic b'chor. And the Shach points out about that because in a certain sense, which is also not like the Rambam, this is another case where Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass in like the Rambam, but rather like the Rosh. And the Shach points out in that connection, by the way, you should realize that it's not really considered such a mum that it's covered, because it's very common that it's going to be uncovered. It's very common that this membrane can be ripped open, and so you can't consider it a mum, because he says Mekesha Darker Likroya. It's normal for it to be eventually uncovered. Fine, but the fact of the matter is, as long as it's covered, you have a suffix. Again, you have a suffix, but again, according to Rav Chisda, you have a suffix. Yeah, that's what we're saying. Okay, let's go on. Okay, fine. Toshma, let's bring from another bride, so also about Erchin. You would think, you would think, fine, a tumtum, you don't assign the Erech of a man, because that's more. Avo Yeheba Erechish, but you would think a tumtum must be either a male or a female, so therefore you should have to give the Erech of a female. No, Chamablaima, Hazachar, Im Nekebra. Therefore the pasuk says not only Hazachar, but it also says Im Nekebra, or a female, meaning, Veloy Tumtum Van Reganus. So we see Hazachar, even the keva. So we see it mentioned. If it's a zocher or if it's in a keva, meaning it has to be one or the other. The point is, it means either it has to be a zocher or it has to be in a keva. There's no in between. Therefore, not a tumtum and underegas. Again, according to the chista, why not? A tumtum is only a suffix. And again, the answer is smimikan tumtum. Delete the word tumtum from this braisa. Only the androgynous is excluded from erchin. The tumtum, according to the chista, is not.
Because
it would be either, because it is, after all, somewhere under there, either a male or a female, and therefore you have to give the erich of a female, which is less. Okay. Toshma, another braisa says, it's not a question if it can be determined or not. The fact that there is only one genitals over there makes it, therefore, that right now it's a suffix, because we haven't uncovered it yet, but nevertheless, somewhere under there, it's either a zocher or a nekeva. Therefore, even as of now, this person has the status of either a zocher or a nekeva. We don't know which. Fine. Hamoitz mechavel avaraya. So you only have to get a hektish for the lesser amount, but you do have to get the point of the hektish. Okay. Toshma, another braisa says, im zocher im nekeva. Another part of that connection says, if zocher, if nekeva. Again, means zocher vadoi, nekeva vadoi. It's only if it's a definite male, only if it's a definite female. Veloi tumtum vandroginus. So again, how does that work according to the chista? And again, the answer is, minikan tumtum, delete the word tumtum from here. The b'nai says only telling us that an androgynous is excluded, not a tumtum. Toshma, another b'nai that says in this connection, has zocher. It says about... the previous braisa was also talking about korbanos, not im zocher im nekeva, was not talking about erchin anymore, we're talking about a korban shlomim. So another pasuk, the one about oila that we said before, we said the pasuk says has zocher, that you have to bring the pasuk says that you have to bring a korban oila has zocher, a male, means v'lo nekeva, automatically that means not a female. Kru oima l'mata zocher, and again we said by the sheik, later on, it again says zocher, she'en tamablema, which you didn't have to say that, ma tamablema, so why does it repeat the word zocher? We said, lahoisi tumtum v'androgynous, to exclude the tumtum and androgynous, that you can't bring on those carbon. Again, if we wanted to chista, why would the Torah have to tell us not a tumtum? If we're saying that a tumtum is only a suffix, again, you're back to the point before, the Torah doesn't have to tell us anything about a suffix. And the answer again is, smimikam tumtum. Again, Rav Chista would say, delete the word tumtum from this braisa as well. Okay, Toshma. A braisa says, hanevad, an animal that was worshipped as a vodazara. Here we're talking about birds. We've learned before about the concept that a nivlas oistahar, that a dead kosher bird is matame a person when he swallows it. But we learned in Zvachim that bird has to be something that was suitable to bring as a carbon. So if it wasn't suitable, then it's not. So we said actually it doesn't matter whether it was suitable as a carbon or not. It doesn't matter whether it was suitable as a carbon or not. Actually, we said hanevad, even if the bird had been worshipped as a bedazara, which makes it possible for a carbon, v'hamukter, had been set aside as a carbon for a bedazara, v'esnan, or was given as the fee to a zoyna, which is also to bring as a carbon, v'hamachir, or it was used in exchange for a dog, which the Torah tells us is also possible for a carbon, v'tumtum v'andreginus. So it doesn't matter, even though none of these birds are kosher to be brought as a carbon. Nevertheless, if you did melika on these birds, because they're not suitable to be brought as carbonis, therefore the melika does not count as a kosher to shechita. Had they been kosher to bring as a carbon, then the melika would make it, but they're not considered in the bela. Then when a person eats them, he wouldn't be tamei. But because these are not suitable to be brought as a carbon, therefore the melika has no effect. They're still considered in the bela. Therefore the person is tamei when he eats it.
The mukta is regular mukta?
No, mukta means that it was designated as a carbon for Avodah Zarah. And then in the end, somebody was bringing it as a korban to the Beis Mikdash, but it's possible for that. Okay. So all of them are matanim begodim abeis avliya. Rabbi Yezer says no. Tumtum v'androgynous ain't matanim begodim abeis avliya. No, if the bird was a tumtum or an androgynous, then it's not matame when, and you did melika on it, then it's not matame the person when he swallows it. Shahoyer Rabbi Yezer oimer, because Rabbi Yezer said, here's a rule. Kol mokum shenema zocher nekeva. Wherever the Torah tells us that you have to bring wherever the Torah tells us that you have male or female, then at the tumtum v'androgynous v'mineihem, then it means only male or only female, not tumtum non-androgynous. But Oif, hoyuvel, never by zachar and a keva, but by bud karbonis. The Torah never uses the word that has to be a zachar and a keva, and in fact, either one is kosher for karbonis of birds. Therefore, says Rabbi Eliezer, iyata moti tumtum androgynous mimineim. Therefore, you can't exclude the tumtum or the androgynous. So we see again, so therefore they would be included. So the tumtum and androgynous, Rabbi Eliezer says, could have been brought as a korban, and therefore Malika takes away the tumah from them. So anyway, again, we see. So therefore, he's not right. So we see, according to the Tanakhama, though, we're mentioning that the Tumtum and the Androgynous are not valid to be brought as Korbanos because they're neither a Zohar nor a Nekeva. Again, according to the Chista, it could be a Zohar, it could be a Nekeva. Why would it still have Tumah if you do Malika on it? Fine, you can't bring it as a Korban because it's not Mulcho, it's not the choicest animal to be brought as a Korban, but you can't say that the Malika should have no effect on it. So therefore, so how does that work? And again, the answer is Sminikan Tumtum, delete the Tumtum from here. In fact, according to Chista, yes, if you did Malika on a bird that was a Tumtum, it wouldn't be Matame, the person when he eats it. Only an androgynous.
An androgynous,
according to Chista, fine, it's considered very of asthma. It's neither male nor female. But a Tumtum, which according to him is a suffix, yes, then at least to that extent, the Malika would help with it. Okay. Toshma, Rebbe Loza Omer, Hatrefa, an animal that is a trefa, that has one of the trefas that we learned about in Holin, that kilayim, or an animal of kilayim, two different species, the yotid dolphin, or if it was born by C-section, tumtum vandragonus, loik doshim, such animals cannot become kodosh if they're used as a tmura. So if you have a regular animal that you designated as an oila, for example, and then you take one of these other types, one of these ones that we just list, and said, I'm gonna exchange the original animal, the carbon, for this one, nothing happens. The new one doesn't get any kedusha. Veloy makdishin, nor are they able to make another animal tmura, meaning, in other words, that even Rashi says, even let's say they were born from an animal that itself was kodshim, so they had kedusha by virtue of being born, having been conceived and born by an animal that had kedusha, nevertheless, they're not able to make a tmura. V'omar Shmuel, what does it mean, like doshim v'lay makdishin, mean that. Like doshim b'tmura, they don't become kodesh as far as becoming a tmura. V'lay makdishin last a tmura. They're not makdish in the sense they don't make another animal that you would exchange for them. This is Shmuel explaining, Rabbi Lazar, yeah. So they're not makdish last a tmura. So again, why would a tumtum and an androgynous be in the same category as that? According to the Chista, that a tumtum is only a suffix, then if either a zocher or a nekeva, it should be able to have the kedusha of a korban to the extent at least of the dinim of tumura. And again, the answer is minikan tumtum, delete the tumtum from here. According to him, you're right, the tumtum doesn't belong over there. A tumtum would be able to become a tumura or make a different animal a tumura. Okay. Toshma, another bride, because it's only a suffix. Okay. There are five cases where an animal does not get kedusha and cannot give kedusha to another animal as tmura. The elohein, a trefa vakilayim b'yetadoy from the tumtum bandereginus. And the chitema hochinami sminikam tumtum. So you're going to say, like we've been answering all this time, delete the tumtum. That doesn't work because here we have a number. Havalabu arba. Rabbi Loza clearly says there are five. The only way you get five is by having the word tumtum in there. If you delete tumtum, you're down to only four. So how does that work?
Something else.
The answer is afik tumtum va'ayo yosin. The answer is, according to the sister, take out the tumtum, because according to him, the tumtum would not have this din, and instead put in a yosin, which is an animal that was born, whose mother died while it was being born. His mother died in childbirth, where such an animal is possible as a carbon. And not only possible as a carbon, but not even that it's able to become a tomato or tomato. Yeah. So therefore, so according to him, that's the bryce, it could be that way. So therefore, tumtum is not in there after all.
No contradiction.
So no contradiction. By the way, I mean, there are mepharshim, for example, the long Lecha Mishnah on the Rambam and Hilchos Isshuos of all places, because the Rambam talks over there about a tumtum or an androgynous being the kaddish a woman, whether the kaddish or chal or not. So the Lecha Mishnah gets into a long discussion over there, what exactly is the status of tumtum and androgynous in halacha. Now, he refers to this Gemara over here, that on the one hand, the Rambam passes things like Rav Chista, that the tumtum is a suffix, On the other hand, the fact is, in all these dinim, we usually do say that a tumtum is the same as an androgynous as far as them. A tumtum doesn't have an erech and so forth. So the Lechem Mishnah has a long discussion of it. One point he comes to in conclusion is that this is all based on the notion that the Gemara had said before, that the Pasuk is not going to address a case of suffix. But since Tosfos points out that there are actually cases where the Pasuk does address a case of suffix, okay, Tosfos had distinguished between different kinds of suffix, the Rambam doesn't have to accept that definition. He can say that after all, in the final analysis, you don't need all of this. You could say that the tumtum is considered a suffix, and you do need sukkim to exclude it, because after all, we don't know what the din of it is. So that would explain then that in the end, we could say that tumtum does belong in all these places. So the Gemara is mentioning Smini Khan according to the logic that we mentioned before, that the Pasuk is not going to address a suffix. But if we don't take that underlying argument, if we assume that the Pasuk can address a suffix, then we can have Tumtum back in all these Mishnayos and Brises. Okay, that's one answer. There's a different answer. Because the Gemara itself is talking according to one way of looking at it, but you could say that there's a different way of looking at it, which the Gemara didn't get into. But there's a different answer also that maybe all of this is only according to Rabbi Lazar's opinion, who says that Rabbi Lazar's opinion, who says that Zachar and Nekeva exclude Tumtum Bandrugnus, but if it doesn't say Zachar and Nekeva, they're not. But if you don't hold according to him, then maybe, yeah, okay, fine. All right. So the question is, Lema Ketanoi, should we say that this matter of whether a tumtum is considered a suffix or not, should we, which again, Rav Chisda said in our Mishnah that it is, and therefore he's saying that in our Mishnah everybody would agree that a Bechor tumtum is a suffix, only an androgynous, or the Chachamim saying that it's not considered a Bechor, should we say this is actually a Machlokas Tanoim? A Braisa says, Rabbi Loi Oimim Mishum Rebishmol, we quoted this Braisa before on the Malachim days, that Rabbi Loi Oimim Mishum Rebishmol, androgynous Bechor Hu Umumayim, he said in the name of Rabbi Shmol that an androgynous is a Bechor, but it's a Bechor that has a built-in womb, therefore you can check it. V'chamim Oimim Ein Kedusha Chola Olav, the Chachamim said no Kedusha comes on it at all, so you could even shear it, you could even work with it. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda oimah mishum Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of Rav Shimon, another opinion, harehu oimah hazachar. After all, the pasuk says by bechor, it says that it has to be a zachar. V'chol makam shenema zachar ene ela lahoti tumtum androgynous. And anywhere it says zachar, the only reason for it is to exclude tumtum and androgynous. So apparently we have different opinions whether tumtum or androgynous are explicitly excluded or not, or whether, like Rav Chisda says, it's a suffix. The chitema smimi kan tumtum. So you're going to say, like we were saying before, maybe you could delete tumtum. Maybe Rav Shimon is only addressing the androgynous. Can't. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda hayne rabbanan. Then it would come out Rav Shimon ben Yehuda is saying the same as the rabbanan in this braisa. The chachamim are saying ein kedusha chola olav, and they'd be saying that androgynous is also ein kedusha chola olav. So obviously tumtum belongs in there, and therefore the chachamim and Rav Shimon are arguing whether a tumtum is considered a zachar or not, or whether it's considered a zachar. The Gemara says no. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda in the name of Rav Shimon. So shouldn't we have to say, therefore, that the argument between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon ben Yehuda must be about the Tumtum? The Tanakhama Sava ain't Kedusha Chola Olav A Androgynous. The Tanakhama says, when do we say no Kedusha comes on it at all, is only as far as the Androgynous. Abel Tumtum Sveikahu, but the Tumtum would be a suffix, like Rav Chisda is saying. The Kaddish is Sveikah, therefore it has Kedusha because of the suffix, and you can't shear it, you can't work with it, etc. But also Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, then Rav Shimon ben Yehuda comes along and says, no, tumtum ber Yehu, not like you say that the tumtum is a suffix, rather the tumtum is like the androgynous, it's also a barrier, it's also a separate category, the loy kodesh, and therefore it's not kodesh at all. So if we say that, then it means that what Rav Chisda is saying, that tumtum is a suffix, is actually only according to the Chachamim. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda would say it's not a suffix, it's a vaday, that's not. The answer is loy, the Gemara says not necessarily. Everybody could agree that there's no suffix whether it's a barrier. All it is zachar or nekeva hu demestamka, but there is a suffix you could say whether it's a zachar or whether it's a nekeva. And further we could say like this. We could say like this. We thought that Rav Shimon ben Yehuda holds that a tumtum, like an androgynous, is a barrier of pneasma. In other words, that he might say there's three possibilities. Maybe it's a zachar, maybe it's an akeva, maybe it's a barrier of pneasma. Now we're saying no. Everybody might agree that it is definitely either a zakah or a nekeva. The suffix is strictly whether it's a zakah or a nekeva. So what's the argument between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Yehuda? So like this. If when the animal urinates from the area that a male usually would, now with a male animal, you have the male organ sticks forward, it's inside that zoivan, that prepuce that we talked about the other day. Therefore, when it urinates, it's like from the underside of the body. So if it does that, then we could say everybody would agree, even though it's a tumtum, we don't see any actual genitals over there, but because the urine comes out from there, obviously under that flesh, no, because if it's in a cave, what's it doing? If it's in a cave, it's urethra is much further back. It's towards the back of the animal.
So you have to see the organ.
No. So that's the point. If you see that the urine stream is coming out from the underside of the animal versus from the back of the animal, so if it comes out from the underside, there's no question. It has to be a male. The female has the urethra get to be there. So then we could say, even though, yes, it's covered with a mound of flesh, and you can't tell, you don't see an actual male organ over there. But the fact that it's urinating from there, from the underside of the body, shows that it is, after all, a male. You could say, Ki pligi, when are the Chachamim and Rav Shimon and Yehuda arguing, if the animal urinates from the back of its body, the area where a female would usually urinate. So what does that mean? Mar sabar, so the Tanakhama will say
from the back,
yeah, because their urethra is right near their vagina, just like by humans. Now the Tanakhama of the Braisa will still hold that not necessarily does that mean that it's a female. Chayshina and Sheminefcha Zachrusa v'Nakrusa. After all, we have to be concerned that maybe the male organ is backwards. Maybe it's hanging backwards. Under whatever it is that's covering us. Therefore, the urine is coming out of there, not because it's coming out of a female urethra, it's coming out of a male one, but it's turned backwards. Instead of pointing towards the front of the body, it's pointing towards the back. Well, therefore, it's a suffix for her. What?
It would be difficult.
No, what do you mean it would be difficult?
Okay.
No, and that's what I mean. In other words, maybe it's like misplaced, and instead of it's rooted in the body in the usual place, but instead of pointing forward under the prepuce, as usual, it points backwards, and therefore, when the animal urinates, the urine is coming out the back of it, so it looks as though it's a female, but really, maybe under the tumtum covering, maybe it's a male. Or Mar Sava, like Hashinan, whereas Rav Shimon Yehuda would say, we don't have to worry about that, and we can say it's definitely a female. In fact, ki hada hayra Rabbi Elazar the behema. As in fact we find that Rabbi Elazar, or a different version over here, it says on the side according to Rashi, it's supposed to be Rabbi Loi, actually gave a fact, the behema mato mayim b'makom nakus, that there was such a case of an animal, a tumtum, that was urinating from the female area, from the back of the body, and he declared chulin, that it's considered chulin, it doesn't have kedushas b'chor. So that would be a coincidence of Shimon. That would be a coincidence of Shimon Yehuda. So you see that maybe that could be the machlokas between him and the Chachamim. Not necessarily is a tumtum possibly a berry of nasma. They both might agree. It's fine. The only two possibilities are male or female. But if you see it urinating from the female area, does that automatically mean that it's a female, or does it mean that Sheminef Chazakosay? Okay. Tohi Barab Yechanan, but when Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Lori passed in that way and said that's Kolman, Rabbi Yechanan was wondering about that. How could you do that? He was wondering. Mandalay Chosh with Tanakama or Rabbi Shmuel. How is it that you're not worried about the opinion of the Tanakama and the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, the Tanakama of our Mishnah, who said that you can't shecht it outside the Mishmikash because it's a suffix, and Rabbi Shmuel, who was only arguing by an androgynous? So how are you going in Paskin? How are you going in Paskin? Like Rabbi Shimon, he says. So the question is, why doesn't Rabbi Yechanan say, it's not just that, you're also ignoring the opinion of the Rabbanan at the end of our Mishnah, the Chachamim in our Mishnah, because your Chista had said that even those Chachamim would hold by a Tumtum, it's still a suffix. We said only Rav Shimon of our Braisa is saying that it's okay. So Rabbi Yechanan should be saying that how are you passing like this and ignoring three opinions of Tanoim? Why is he mentioning only two? The answer is the three being the Tanakama of our Mishnah and our Braisa, Rabbi Shmuel in our Mishnah and our Braisa, the Chachamim in our Mishnah, who say that it's not a Bechor, but Rabbi Chista said that's only referring to an androgynous, a Tumtum would still be a suffix, and you're only following the opinion of Rav Shimon. How is that? The answer is, okay, Rav Yechanan, okay, Rav Yechanan doesn't have to agree with Rav Chista. He could say that the Chachamim and our Mishnah would hold that it's also that a Tumtum is like an androgynous. They're both Vaday, not Bechor.
But
Rav Chista has his opinion. Rav Yechanan is entitled to argue with that.
But you cannot explain Rav Chista.
No, not you. Rav Yechanan doesn't have to agree with Rav Chista's explanation.
Right.
Rav Chista, we said, fine, Rav Chista has his explanation of our Mishnah. Rav Yechanan doesn't have to agree with that. He can say that the Chachamim in our Mishnah, the third opinion in our Mishnah, would say that both a Tumtum and an Androgynous are definitely not a Bechor. So therefore, he can't say to Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Lazar, how could you ignore the opinion of the Chachamim in our Mishnah? But he can tell him, how are you ignoring the opinion of the Tanna Kamma and of Rabbi Shmuel? Okay. So the question is, Eloi Svirulei, if Rav Yechanan doesn't hold like Rav Chista, and he says the Chachamim in our Mishnah do hold this is not a Bechor, then what's Rav Yechanan's problem? Let him say, okay, so you're going like the Chachamim at the end of our Mishnah, so what's the problem? You're entitled to do that.
To say like
the Chachamim of our Mishnah? The answer is, Hochinami Kama. Fine, but even then, what Rav Yechanan is saying is, Man Shavik Trei V'Ovid Kachad. How could you ignore two opinions in our Mishnah and follow only one opinion? You have three opinions. Forget about the Braita a second. You have three opinions in our Mishnah. Fine. Even if you want to say that the third opinion holds that this is not a Bechor, that the Vadeh, that the Tumtum is a Vadeh, not Bechor, okay, but you have two opinions against it in the Mishnah. Why are you ignoring those in favor of the final opinion? That would be Rabbi Yechanan's point. We'll continue and we'll explain, okay, so what was Rabbi Lazar or Rabbi Loi thinking? How could he ignore those two opinions in favor of a Chachamim of our Mishnah? So we'll continue that tomorrow. It's a two against one.